Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and we praise Thee that there is a message from the Lord. We thank Thee that Thy Word is forever settled in heaven. We thank Thee, our God, that though heaven and earth may pass away, that My Word shall never pass away. We pray that by the power of Thy Holy Spirit that Thou wilt take of Thy Word and this night write it upon each and every one of our hearts. To this end, O God, I trust You now for power. Thy power, it shall not fail. The words that Thou this night shall give me shall and must prevail in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you to open your Bibles, please, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 36. 36th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, commencing to read at verse number 1. Let's follow the reading of God's infallible truth this evening in Jeremiah chapter 6, commencing to read at verse number 1. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him, upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll, which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplications before the Lord, and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Verse 20. And they went in to the king into the court, and they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the ear of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was in the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Verse 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, after that the king had burned the roll. And the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, Thou hast burnt this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed, and his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them. But they hearkened not. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added beside unto them many like words. We end our reading there, and we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his infallible truth. We live in solemn and stirring days in this province of ours. Men and women will make decisions concerning the future of the province in this week that we're about to enter. We're not to live in the past, but it is only a fool, and it is a foolish nation, it is a foolish person, it is a foolish people that do not learn the lessons from the past and listen to the warnings of God about the future. It is a wise man or woman indeed that reads the Word of God and heeds the Word of God, heeds the warning that God gives to a nation and a people. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, the Lord Jesus said, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. When a nation or when a person deliberately disobeys the word of God, then the doors of disaster and the doors of judgment will most certainly open. Never forget that statement. When a nation or a man or a woman deliberately disobeys the word of God and seeks to defy the solemn warnings of a sovereign God, then the doors of disaster and the doors of judgment open for that nation or that people. As you read the story in the book of Jeremiah concerning Judah, I want you to notice that God desired to save Judah from the Babylonian captivity. Nebuchadnezzar was almost at the gates. It was only a matter of time, and short time, when the people of Judah would be enslaved. Time was quickly running out. And at the moment of Judah's greatest need, God once again speaks to Judah in mercy and in grace through his servant, the prophet Jeremiah. I want us to notice three things in this passage tonight. First of all, the wickedness that was needed to be halted. And then there were the words that were surely hated, and the wages that most certainly had to be handled. First of all, the wickedness to be halted. If you go to verse 3 of this passage, it says, it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity, that I may forgive their sin. Notice here that God has been patient with Judah. God has been patiently pleading. God has been pleading and beseeching and begging Judah to turn from her sin and from her wicked ways. God could not permit the sin of Judah to go on forever. Sin had to be stopped. Men and women, let me tell you tonight, it's the same for you. God cannot permit your sin to go on forever. Your sin will have to be stopped. Are you listening? Are you listening, friend? God is a patient God. God is a loving God. But God Almighty will not permit your sin to go on forever, because your sin will be stopped. God will stop you in your sin. God is patient, is loving, is gracious, is kind. But God is a sovereign and a righteous and a holy God. And God will not overlook man's sin. You notice the days of rebellion here in verse 2. Take thee a roll and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, against Judah, against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. You see, the threat of exile did not hang over Judah because she refused to obey one appeal from God. Do you know that over a period of 23 years, God was appealing and God was begging and God was beseeching Judah to turn? And yet with all of those years, Judah turned her ear and deafened it, and she hardened her heart against God. Over and over again, God spake. Over and over again, God called. But over and over again, Judah would not listen. He not only spoke once, he not only spoke twice, he spoke so often. And yet Judah went on in her rebellion. Listen, my friend, she already saw that God fulfills His word. She saw the captivity of Israel. She witnessed when a nation turns away from God and a people turn away from God and walk in the paths of sin, that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin enslaves, chains a man or a nation. And God showed Judah what sin would do. Just like Noah's day. God said He would send the flood, and then God gave for 120 years. God gave a sermon before their eyes because Noah built the ark. And as he built that ark, the people saw the ark. They witnessed the ark was being built. And for that 120 years, God's servant faithfully preached. And He warned them what their sin would do and the judgment their sin would bring. And if they did not turn from the rebellion, and if their sin did not end, the judgment would come. But friend, they went on. And so with Judah. She went on. But friend, sad to say, so with you, friend. you're still going on. You're still carrying on in your sin. The days of your rebellion has not ended. The days of your Christ rejection has not come to a close. You still trample under your foot the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You still count the sacrifice of Jesus as if it is nothing. You still deafen your ears to the warning and the appeals of God. Yes, the threat of exile didn't come in a moment, friend. Year after year, she sinned. And judgment would follow. But you notice that God desired repentance. In verse 3 it says, it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do. God says, listen, I'm telling you what I'm going to do. This is what your sin is going to reap. This is the harvest that your sin is going to bring. And dear friends, tonight in this gospel service, it's not that you don't know that the Bible says your sin, when it is finished, will bring forth death eternally, eternally separated from God, eternally in hell, eternally lost. It's not that you don't know. God's been open. God says the wages of your sin is death. And God's told you exactly, friend, listen, He's told you exactly what harvest your sin will bring. He said that maybe when the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, the harvest of their sin, friend, that they may turn from his evil way. And friend, tonight as you read the scriptures, don't be a fool. Don't be a fool, friend. You will surely reap the harvest of your sin if you do not turn. But God desires your repentance. Why? Because God's long-suffering. And He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and live. It's not that God wants you to go to hell, friend. It's not that God wants you to be damned. It's not that God wants you to be shut out of His presence. It's not what God desires you to burn in the inferno of a Christless, unending eternity amidst the groanings of the lost. God did not desire their destruction. God desired their deliverance. But they have to turn. And friends, so have you. Don't mock God to think that somehow you can sin and reject and reject, and then God's going to open the door of heaven and say, come in. Friend, you've got to turn. That they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquities and their sin. God wanted to forgive their iniquities. God wanted to forgive their sin, but they had got to turn away from their evil. So much did God want them to turn, friend, that God says, Jeremiah, get a roll. Get a scroll.
And I want you to write the message in a book or on the roll that they might read, that they might heed, that they might turn. Notice there in verse 1 of the chapter, this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. We sang tonight, I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah. And a message unto you I bring. That's exactly what Jeremiah got. It was a message from God. And that's the message he delivered, friend. It was the evidence of the love of God. Notice, Jeremiah's message was from God. The message wasn't a new message. Notice verse 2. Take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee. You see, God has already said it. It's not new. It's the same message that God had already delivered. And God's giving it again. And He's warning them again. And He says, put it in the book that they might read it. It wasn't a new message. But God says, put it down. Put it down that it might be studied. Friend, tonight, the message I bring to this congregation is not a new message. It's already written down in the book, and you have it in your hand tonight. And you can read it for yourself. There's no excuse for failure to turn. Son of man, warn them from me. It's a solemn friend. And you notice the message if you go to verse 3. It's a personal message. It may be that the house of Judah will hear. This was a personal message for Judah. And friend, this is a personal message for you. Dear unconverted person, dear unsaved person, let me tell you, I have a word from God for you. It's a personal message. It was the house of Judah. It's for you, friend. And then notice, it was not only a personal message, it was a pointed message. Judah will hear all the evil that they may return every man from his evil way. God wants you to turn from sin. Your sin, His evil way. That's personal. It's personal. It's pointed. And God says, if they do not turn, then I will purpose evil unto them. I'll judge them. The wickedness to be halted. But quickly, friend, notice the words that were hated. I'll go to verse 23. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read 3 or 4 leaves, he, that is Jehoiakim the king, cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. You see, what Barak did was simply this, friend. He recorded the message faithfully. He took it, as Jeremiah, God's servant, said, he took it to the house of the Lord. And Jeremiah was shut up and he couldn't do it. And he sent Barak. And Barak, the scribe, went in and he took this message from God as he had faithfully written it down. And he took it to the house of the Lord and he read it to the people. On the day of the fast at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. And as he read the scriptures, friend, Micaiah was moved by what he heard, and he went to the scribe's chamber and he rehearsed what Baruch had told him and what Baruch had read. And they sent for Baruch, and they asked him if this was truly God's word through Jeremiah. Nothing added to it and nothing taken away. Let me tell you, friend, this is truly God's word tonight. I can say with absolute authority and clarity tonight, this is God's word that you have in your hand. This is God's word that we're reading tonight. I have a word from God. And let me tell you, when you stand before God, I want to tell you, the Bible says the books are open. And one of the books that will be open, friend, standing in opposition to your life, standing by which you will be judged, is the very book of God. God's holy book. The Bible says there was a fear came upon those that heard it. And they told Baruch to go and hide himself and to hide Jeremiah. And they took the scroll and they put the scroll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe. And the chief men went to the king. Now Jehoiakim was 25 years old whenever he took the throne of Judah. And for 11 years he ruled Judah. He'd been put on the throne after his brother was dethroned. He was a mean man. He was a wicked man. He was an evil man. He was a merciless man. He filled Jerusalem with innocent blood until Nebuchadnezzar put an end to his wicked ways. The king was, you know, in the winter house. He was wintering himself. He was there in comfort. He was at his ease. The Bible says there was a fire on the hearth that was burning before him. It was a lovely scene as far as he was concerned. He was at ease. As if nothing was going wrong, as if judgment wasn't going to fall. And here the king was in his winter house. And the fire is burning for his comfort. And to bring the word of God, or a message of the word of God. And the king sends Jehudai to get the roll, and they brought the roll. And the word of God was being read to him, friend. Something happened when the word of God was read to him. His comfort was disturbed. He wasn't at ease anymore. Because the word of God's quick and powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And the word of God went into his inner being. And the word of God pierced his heart. And he heard the truth, but you know when he heard the truth, he didn't like it. It's the truth that sets men free. But men and women don't like the truth. Men and women would rather that the preacher wouldn't stand in the pulpit and preach the truth. Why? Because it's not a message they want to hear. They love their sin. They don't want repentance. They don't want to have to turn from it. They don't want to hear the exposure of the wicked way. And Jehudai had finished 3 or 4 pages. And the king takes the scroll. And he takes a penknife. And friend, he cuts the truth of God and the roll to shreds. My, he's bold, isn't he? Just piece by piece. Notice what it says, verse 23. He cut it with a penknife, and he cast it into the fire that was in the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. And bit by bit, he says, I'll get rid of the word of God. And he threw the word of God on the fire. But he wasn't rejecting the scroll, friend. He was rejecting the God of the scroll. For all the scroll
was the record that God had given. Maybe you don't like the Word of God tonight.
Maybe the Word of God is piercing your soul. And as you listen to the Word of God, now you want to turn off. You don't want to hear anymore. Many a man has said to me in gospel meetings, "Preacher, whenever the appeal was made, I sat in my hands. I literally sat in my hands. But the hand wanted to go up, and the heart wanted to go out to God, but I sat in my hands. I wanted to turn off." Let me tell you, friend, here's a sad thing. You know the young man that we're talking about here, the king? He was the son of a good king who found the Word of God and mourned over the sin of the nation and called the nation to a national repentance. And this was the son of a godly father. And he cuts the Word of God to pieces. There's no greater tragedy, is there? A person rejecting. But notice something else, not only the attack of the fire, friend. Notice the absence of fear. Go to verse 24. "Yet they were not afraid." They're as bold as brass. He takes the word from God, friend. And he cuts the Word of God to pieces. And as he cuts the Word of God to pieces, he puts it on the fire. And he watches the fire burn. And I can see him smirk. I can see him laugh. He's the big fella. My, he's proving he's the master. He's the king. And he puts the roll upon the fire bit by bit. And he burns the Word of God. And he feels that he's destroying the Word of God. My friend, what a fool. He's damning his own soul. And the tragedy is this. He does it without a fear. He's emboldened by hell. He's as hard as the devil. Let me ask you a question tonight. Is that you? Are you so arrogant tonight that you feel that you can mock God? Are you so arrogant tonight that you think that you can reject God? Get away with it. You can despise the offering of God's Son. You can laugh at the cross and laugh at the blood and laugh at the sacrifice of Jesus. And there's no price to pay. And you can just zoom off and put your back to God and your face to the world. And you have a tremor in your heart. That's the arrogance of a fool. They were not afraid. You know what God tells me? One of the marks of the last days, friend. There's no fear of God before their eyes. People can take the Word of God, friends, let me tell you, and they can abuse the Word of God, and they can laugh at the Word of God, And they can take the gospel tract and they can crumble it and throw it into the gutter and stamp upon it and think that somehow it makes them 10 feet tall. Well, the bigger you are, the bigger the thump when God brings you to the ground. Nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Yes, there were a few, verse 25, that made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll. But notice what it says. But he would not hear them. He's the big lad. He wouldn't hear them. Friend, in closing, the wages to be handled. Let me say something. Was the word of God removed? Verse 32. Then took Jeremiah another roll, and he gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. Let me tell you, heaven and earth may pass away, but God covenants this: my word shall never pass away. Rome took this book and she kept it from her people. She lit the fires not only with the children of God, but she lit the fires with the book of God and tried to destroy it. But God made a covenant. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise God, we're on the victory side. The Lord's on the throne tonight. Oh, get your eyes upon him. What a wonderful Lord we have. What a wonderful God we worship. The endless truth. Let me tell you, the word of God went on. Listen to me! The word of God went on. The word of God was written again. The word of God was not destroyed. But notice not only the endless truth, notice the empty throne. Go to verse 30. Therefore thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon David's throne, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. Judah was taken into captivity. Jehoiakim destroyed God's word, but it destroyed him. 4 years later, Jehoiakim died in the chronicles of the kings of Judah. Listen to my friend. The chronicles of the kings of Judah don't even mention his burial. God's word still lives, and he was forgotten. What a sad thing. Verse 31, I will punish him. I will punish him and his seed, and his servants. Why? For their iniquity. You can't sin without God's judgment. But they hearkened Then God called one last time. That's what God was doing. God was calling one last time. God was giving one last opportunity. Before the stroke of judgment. But they would not hearken. Is that you? Is that you, friend? You have heard the gospel message. And yet after hearing the gospel message of redeeming grace, you still have turned and walked away. You still reject the Son of God. You still say no to the claims of Jesus Christ upon your heart and upon your life. And you say, I will not have this man to rule over me. What does the hymn writer say? Many summers you have wasted. Ripened harvests you have seen. Winter snows by spring have melted, yet you linger in your sin. Jesus, for your choice is waiting. Tarry not at once decide. While the Spirit now is striving, yield and seek the Savior's side. Come believing. Come to Jesus. Look and live. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, as we bow before Thee, we thank Thee for Thy precious Word. We thank Thee it's forever settled in heaven. We thank Thee that it, although it has been burned, there's not the smell of the fire upon it. We thank Thee, though it has been buried, what a glorious resurrection. Oh God, though man has tried to mock it, yet we thank Thee it stands supreme. It's the Word of the living God. And I pray tonight that by the power of Thy Holy Spirit that Thou wilt take it and write it in the hearts of those that have gathered in Thy house, that they might look to Jesus, that they might look and live.